Would you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5? We will look at verses 10 and 11 together as we begin our time in the Word. I'm going to ask the Lord's blessing on it as we do. Father God, we have areas in our life where we don't know or don't understand. And so this morning, I would ask that you would take your Word and fill those gaps. Lord, there are places in our lives where we need your strength and we need your help to obey. And so, Lord, would you take your Spirit today and bend our wills to your will and then empower us to then follow through and apply your Word and truth. We need your help, and so we ask for it this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Chapter 5, we will kind of look at verse 9 because that's where we left off. And then we'll continue on to verse 10. If you would read with me, it says, "But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen." As we come to the conclusion of our letter, we'll have one more sermon for the last couple verses, Lord willing. But as we see and then try to understand Peter's conclusion here, he is basically summarizing, as many writers do in the scripture, he's summarizing many of the things that he has said and taught us through this letter. And so we come and we understand that a major part of the summary and the conclusion would be just the reminder of suffering. And it says there that after we have suffered for a little while, Peter, throughout this entire letter, has basically assumed or just kind of communicated to us that the Christian life will involve suffering. It will. That's part of living in a broken world. In our study about the evil one and the desire that Satan has to destroy us, I mentioned that many times that comes in the area of suffering. So it's a very unique thing that we understand from Scripture that God allows suffering. Satan sometimes asks for it. We see examples in the Scripture where he wants that to come. But it's under the sovereign hand of God, where God is allowing that suffering to come. Satan has evil purposes during that suffering. God has good purposes during that suffering. And the two kind of are at war at one another. That's why we are to stay humble before the mighty hand of God, knowing that it is all under his sovereign plan for our lives. So we go low, we stay humble, that way grace can flow, because Satan is there wanting to attack our faith in the midst of this hardship and suffering. He wants us to question the goodness of God, but we need to stay humble and trust what he has revealed about himself, that he is glorious in his purposes and he has wonderful things for us. So we stay low, we let the spigot of grace flow, we stand firm against the devil, we resist him and the attacks, and we endure the suffering as God allows it. And as I was thinking through my thoughts this morning, I was thinking of specific individuals in our church family that, as we come to the end of this book and in regards to suffering, they're not through it yet. It's not over. So this morning, you read in the text, after a little while, and your heart says, when is it going to be over? In fact, I was talking to someone this week in our church, and I literally said, how are you doing? And I think the person knew what I meant by it, and tears immediately started to fall through one question. And no doubt in a group this size this morning, that feeling and the hardship, even though it's tailor-made for each one of us, would be echoed over and over and over. And so you read the verse after a little while and you say, when is it going to stop? Because it's not enjoyable. It's not what I want. And I totally understand that. And I'm saying to you, I am sorry. If I could take away the pain, I would do it in a heartbeat. But I can't. And on top of that, I have to submit to the God of the universe who says, this is from Him. If you're a child of God, if you are in Christ Jesus, and that's what Peter says, those who are in Christ, if you're a follower of Christ, if He has changed your life and set you on this journey of faith of Christ-likeness, it does involve suffering. And sometimes the suffering is a short period of time. Sometimes it's a few months. Sometimes, for some of us, it's years. And so it's not very encouraging for you to read after a little while. Because it doesn't feel like that to you. But what I think Peter does here in the end, it's very helpful. So he takes the concept of earthbound living, and we've been walking through from the very beginning that we're pilgrims, we're refugees, we're headed somewhere to our final home. We live here, we enjoy the good gifts of God here, but our final resting place is our home, and it's with our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we go through this journey, it's hard and it's difficult. And this teaching goes directly against any kind of health and wealth gospel, any kind of cheap gospel that would say you add Jesus to your life and everything's going to be great from that point on. That is not the gospel of the Scriptures. We are to take part in Christ's suffering. Remember in chapter 2? Peter said, Jesus suffered as an example for us, and we are to follow in His steps. And so the idea of a little while is something that's pretty subjective to a group this size. Some of you may have come through a major trial in 2021. Some of you may have entered the trial and it's not done yet. Some of you may have been experiencing a trial for years and years, and you don't see any end in sight. I was thinking about this idea of suffering and a little while and how sometimes it's short for others and longer for other folks. And I haven't had I've never had any personal interaction with Johnny Erickson Tada, but I've heard her speak on occasion and I've seen her speak in different media outlets. And I was thinking, you know, for a person like that, a little while, there's really no end to it until you see Jesus. And yet, the joy of the Lord that can be seen in a person's life if they buy into what Peter is trying to present. That it really takes us beyond the here and now, what we experience and what we feel on a daily basis, to a bigger picture. And at the end here, Peter says that the God of all grace, He has called us to eternal glory. So He takes it from this day in, day out suffering experience of believers to a much bigger perspective to remind us that our calling will be effective all the way till our eternal glory. And so if you start to compare the two, little while, eternal glory. If you can get past the feelings of the hardship of the moment and look to the glorious hope that we have in our wonderful God that eternity awaits us, then you start to understand, okay, I can handle a little while. But if you're not focused on truth, and some this morning perhaps are not, And the evil one is just bombarding your faith. He's trying to get you to question, is God good? Does he have purposes in this? Why am I going through this? I look at everyone else and their Facebook looks like everything's great in their life. Why do I feel this way? If we can get past that to where truth actually is. And the truth is that a little while compared to eternal glory is really small. Even though it may be our entire lives here. And that's hard to wrestle with. It's hard, and I get it. And Satan will use anything. It's the craziest thing, how Satan will cause us to doubt and question. Yesterday afternoon, I was just walking past the counter, and actually it was about 5 o'clock, and we had sat down for dinner, and I put my phone away, and I put it on the counter, and as I had got up for the table, I was walking to another room in the house, and I just, you know, hit it to see if there are any notifications. And it was the craziest thing. Sometimes I get these news alerts, and I got a news alert, and it said something to the fact that archaeology finds now disprove the biblical account. And in that moment, I was like, what? And you know what Satan did in that moment? He's like, see, it's not real. It's not true. And that is like, what? What do you mean it's not true? Yes, it is. I know it's right. Nope. And in my mind, and it was one little news. I didn't even open it because I didn't want to read it because I don't want it in my mind. And I didn't ask for it. But at any point, the evil one will attack our faith. He will attack truth to get us to doubt and deny our glorious God. And so Peter here says, after a little while, he just gives four, I think, truths that hopefully will refresh weary saints. Because I think in all honesty, we go through times of just real weariness. The attacks of the evil one, the suffering and the hardship of living in a broken world. So after all that has been said, Peter says, number one, your trials are only for a little while. The blessings will be forever. Do you believe that this morning? Like, really believe it. Because if you are going through a hardship, you need it. You need this truth. Where it says in verse 10, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So as you struggle, as you resist the evil one, think on things that are true. This is just for a little while. Make your mind and will bend to that reality. Compared to the eternal glory of God that we will experience, it's a small time that we must suffer. We must follow in his steps. Number two, your God is an infinite source and provider of grace. It says they're the God of all grace. It's the only time in the scripture where this title is given to our God. So in this moment, where Peter has, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he has, through this entire letter, reminded us of grace. Over and over and over, we are confronted and encouraged by the idea of grace. What is grace? It's simply, it's help. It's help from our God. It's given us what we don't deserve. God He is a merciful God. He withholds the judgment that should be ours because we are in Christ Jesus. And then he grants forgiveness and he gives us eternal life. That's his grace. That's his saving grace. And Peter says, the God of all grace, which means that he is rich. He has all of the resources that you need to finish this journey. Just thinking of the folks as we rehearse in our family meeting who have already gone to glory. And as I saw their pictures this morning and just reminded of their lives, and some of them, I was able to see them either the day before they passed or a few days before they passed. And their faith in God all the way to the end was his grace in their lives. Some of them passed away in great suffering, physical, tremendous suffering. And to hear their faith in God all the way to the end is a testimony of the glorious grace of God. He is rich in grace. He is there to help. He has everything that we need. We lack nothing in God because the God of all grace is there to help you. So this morning, if you're feeling the weight of your suffering, or the last week you have felt the weight and the evil one has bombarded you, run to the one who is the victor. Run to the God of all grace and beg him for help. And he is there. He is there to provide everything that we need. God's grace, it's a building block approach in this whole book. Chapter 1, verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 13. Chapter 4, chapter 5. God is the giver of grace. And he wants, in this conclusion, for us to be focused on that aspect of who God is in the midst of suffering. Your God, if you're a believer this morning, your personal God, he is infinite in his resources for you this very day. He is the provider of grace. Number three, I would suggest as well, that you will enjoy the glory of God's grace forever. Let's continue in the text. It says there, after that we have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus. What this means is that forever and ever, we will enjoy the glory and the grace of our God. So here you are, 2021. You've experienced a hardship, and you've been experiencing that hardship, let's say 5 years. 5 long, heavy years. And it doesn't seem that it's going to let up anytime soon. So you take that timeline of your life, compare it to eternity, where you will enjoy. And why would I say the word enjoy? Because in eternity, the suffering will be gone. Revelation tells us that our God, he will wipe away every tear. No more. He will make all the wrongs right. Every hurt, every pain, our God in eternity will make it all right. He will restore. So keep going back to the timeline, the real timeline, not what you're feeling every single day and the weight of living in a broken world when it seems like forever. It's not forever. Forever is defined by Scripture. And when we see Jesus, we will forever and ever, which is his glorious timetable, enjoy a life of no more suffering. So when you're focused here, go here. Constantly. And when you do that, you're going to need to do it again. Because Satan wants you to go here. Why, God? This has been too long. I'm pretty much at the end. You've got to go here. That's the tool that God has given us to handle the sufferings that He is allowing and the sufferings that the evil one wants to use to absolutely destroy our faith. So it's a little while. But God is there and He is abundant in His gifts and His grace. And He wants us to stay here in our perspective. Because we will enjoy His glory forever and ever. What's involved with His glory? It's everything that makes Him unique, everything that makes Him amazing, everything that makes Him greater than anything that we can see here and now. It's all of His attributes. It's everything that He is and everything that He does. All wrapped up in His glory. Ephesians 2 says, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness in Christ Jesus. Our faith will be made sight. We will understand grace in such an amazing, wonderful way when we see Jesus face to face. We can't really wrap our minds around it totally. We have the text to tell us in some ways what it's going to be like. But what's coming down the pike is a revelation of God's glory like we have never seen before. And we will get to enjoy His glory forever and ever. And the pain and the hardship will be gone. These are crucial truths. To stay faithful to our God in the midst of hardship and suffering. Number four, your God, your personal God, what is He doing for you? He restores and He secures you. And that's the end here that Peter says at 10. It says, the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory. What will He do? Well, it says He Himself. God is going to work in this way. He will perfect, He will confirm, He will strengthen, and He will establish you. So all of these ideas are happening now, and they will come to full fruition in eternity. That our God has not abandoned us. He Himself is working on our behalf. And in His power and in His strength, He is going to take all of the brokenness and restore it and perfect it. And He's going to take all of His power and He's going to enable us and strengthen us. And He will complete and secure what He has started. The evil one, no matter how hard he tries to destroy, the true child of God will remain faithful all the way to the end. And so we have this great hope this morning. What does it mean that He will perfect? Some versions probably have restore. It's simply making whole. Restore to the former condition. We have this idea of being fitted together, making perfect. So all of the brokenness. And I want you to think about it personally for a second. Take your whole timeline that you have lived up until this point. Even before Christ and after Christ. All of the ways that your sinful nature has surfaced in your life. And if you're honest with yourself, you don't remember every detail, but you remember a lot. You can get the big, big categories. Think about the brokenness that you have experienced personally because of your sin. Starting from a child all the way to where you are today. All of the weakness, all of the sinfulness, the struggle, the brokenness, all of that. Where you are today, God has already started the process of restoration. But think about it in this terms. He will complete that restoration process and He will be perfect someday. So all of the things that come to mind in your heart, because you know your own sinfulness and humanity and your own brokenness. God will restore that. He's in process. God Himself, the God of grace, He is working in your life. And He gets your struggle. He knows that yesterday afternoon, Satan would love to take that thought and get me to question whether standing up here today is really true. And He's right there helping. At every point, He is right there helping you. He has not abandoned you. He has not left you to yourself. He is the God of all grace. And He is restoring the brokenness and the sinfulness that we come into this world with. And one day, we will experience like never before the restoration. So when we say enjoy God's eternal glory, there's nothing going to be like it. Nothing. There's no pleasure here, no trinket or toy that will come close to comparison of being restored. That's what our God is doing. That's what He will do for you personally. Every step of the way, He says He will as well confirm. He's fixing firmly in place. He's stabilizing something so that it will not totter. It will not fall. And I don't know about you, but there are some days where it's like, somewhere to blow, I could just blow right over. And my God, He's there. He's stabilizing. He understands the struggle. He understands the hardship. And that confirmation will then be that ultimate in glory experience that I will experience with my God forever and ever and ever. He will strengthen you. It's a promise. You need strength, He will give it. You're having a hard time resisting the devil, run to the God of grace. He's rich in grace. He's bountiful in grace. He will strengthen you. He will establish you, which just simply means He's laying a foundation, which is that idea of security, to set that will someday be complete so that we don't ever have to worry about our future. How can someone who is dying of cancer, who has experienced great pain for a number of months, look death right into the face and believe that all is well? It's because it's right here. God will establish. He is establishing, and He will complete the home that He has for us. It's possible to endure suffering because of the God of grace, because He is rich in grace and His promises are absolutely true. Now, because of all this, verse 11 is absolutely appropriate. It says, to Him be dominion or power forever and ever. Amen. Let it be so. If you can wrap your mind around the truth of 1 Peter and allow it to do what we as a pastoral team ask God to do a year ago this time, that God would take his word and strengthen his people, who some are currently going through great hardship. But understanding the times and realizing that there's probably a day in the near future coming where we will feel this in a much greater way. What God has done this year, because I have seen it, he has taken his word and he has helped people not only handle what they are going through now, but what they will be going through in the future. Someone sent me a text this week who just kind of explained a hardship that they're continuing to go through. And then they sent me a picture of some notes that they had taken from a message previously. And this is not for my glory at all. Please, you know my heart on this. But it simply said, we were prepared well. That's what the scripture does for us. It's not just information that we come and we just take in a few, you know, one day a week or whatever. We take it in to actually use it in our lives Monday and the rest of the week. And God in his grace takes his truth, and this is the truth we need. Weary traveler. We need to remember it's just a little while. And what is coming is eternal glory. And it's a promise. It's an effective call. It cannot be changed. And every step of the way, our God is there to help us. And so we need constantly to go low, to think on things that are true. Take every thought captive. When you think, God, I don't deserve this. My wife and I were just talking about someone yesterday who made the comment, if this is what serving the Lord gets you, and then it's the wrong way to see it. We have been called to suffer as Christ suffered. And as we do so, we understand the grace and the glory of God in a greater way. And it gives us the wonderful hope that everything will be restored. Everything will be confirmed. We will be strengthened all the way and established forever and ever. There is complete security in the God of grace. We don't ever have to falter. There is security in him. So as we are reminded once again this Christmas of this little baby who came, and it's wonderful to enjoy and think about God's people who waited and waited and waited, and then God delivered, and then Jesus accomplished everything. And so now we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. But the day is coming where the eternal glory of God will be revealed. And so we can worship him this Christmas. We can let the awe of God's glorious timetable remind us once again that it's not about us. God's people waited 400 years. And Jesus came. So a little while. 3 months. 5 years. 50 years. It's a little while compared to the eternal glory. May God help us let this truth control our minds. I mean, control our minds. Day in, day out. Because when it's not, we're wide open for the evil one to come in and just chip away at our faith. But our response, we resist. And we run to the God of grace because we know that He is working. And we worship Him and we declare His glory because He is worthy of all power and all glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you pray with me as we close? I know it's been a long morning. For those of you who are still with me, if you're weary, and I know many are, would you once again run to your God, ascribe to Him what He has revealed about Himself, that He is the God of grace. Thank Him for what He's doing. He's restoring you. He's strengthening you. He's confirming you. He's establishing you. And as well, thank Him for the great hope that you have. That after a little while, you will be able to enjoy His eternal glory forever and ever. Would you trust Him today? Run to Him. God, we continue to come to You, weary travelers, just needing Your help, asking You to encourage those who are suffering on whatever level and experiencing the hardships of living in a broken world. Pray that You will encourage us to go low, stay humble before who You are, that we would be faithful to resist the attacks of the evil one. We would keep casting our care upon You because we do know that You care for us. And keep believing that You are restoring, that You are strengthening, that You are confirming, that You are establishing. And one day it will be complete and we will enjoy Your glory forever and ever. God, we need You. And so I ask that Your truth would control our minds as we go from this place and live another day, if that's Your will, another week, if that's Your will, but looking to You, the author and finisher of our faith, looking to You as the God of all grace. We love You, Lord. Thank You for this letter. Thank You for what You've accomplished through it. We give You glory and honor. In Your holy and precious name, I pray. Amen.